Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to everybody this morning. I'm glad to see that some of you got some extra sleep last night. Although I saw something that said they're not sure we got extra sleep because I still woke up at the same time. So, and that meant I was up around 3 or 4. So. The announcements are in your bulletin, but just to remind you, I believe, Lois, are we having coffee downstairs?
Yes. Okay. We've got stuff out to sell.
Okay.
If you didn't get to make it to the student pie lunch yesterday, it was fantastic. We had a great showing, so that was good. We so far made about $1,700,
and
if you don't know, that's what we do here at St. Luke's to help support our community. A lot of these funds are going to other nonprofit organizations here in the community, like feeding the backpacks, Friends Feeding Friends, and the kids shop. So this is our way of helping support the community. So it was really good. But there's lots of great things left over. So after church, go downstairs, see if there's anything else you want.
And pie and cookies.
Pie and cookies.
Pie and cookies, yeah.
If nothing else, it'll get you down there. It's a good one. And there were some good ones, too.
I have a question.
Yes.
What are you looking for the cookbooks left over?
I don't know yet.
I was wondering if someone would like to go to the big shop.
I think that was some of the ideas.
Yeah.
The ladies will be safe. It'll be.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I know one thing. It won't go to waste. It might go to a waste, but not to, it won't be lost. I believe there is one more person who has an announcement. She has a short sermon. Come on up, Pauline.
I hate to take time away from your sermon and you and the rest, but some of these things have to be said, and they don't get said often enough, and some people still have questions. So I'm the chairman of the Centennial Committee, of which is Bill Hawley, Chris Johns, Lois Branson, Dalton, and I've added Bill Page to the committee, obviously, and Paul Johnson. But anyway, this is the final project, thing, and this is the lighter brick, and they're laser printed. And the reason we have chosen laser printed, it can be done in 2 minutes. It's fun to watch him print these out. We have 94 bricks at the printer, and they're ready to go anytime that you're ready to give us some money. And I passed out a few registration forms. This is the latest information that I have. Just for your edification, it is one brick is $30 for your name and whatever we decide to put on there. 4 bricks are $100, and we have a few bricks that are larger than this. It's double this size. We have a few bricks that will be $50 a piece. And talk to me about that later. I don't want to take too much time. Anyway, this is the design that we've come up with. It is a cross in the center, and I know some of you can't see that, but it's a cross in the center, and filling in with the smaller bricks on the side. And this will go at this point, this will go in that corner, on the north corner here, and it will be about the size of a twin bed. So it's very, very small. We have targeted right now 101 bricks for that project, and this is about 101 bricks, the size, approximately the size of a twin bed. So see me afterwards or call me, and I'll answer any more questions you have.
Thank you. Any other? Then let's begin our worship. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Christ Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through it. Amen. For all the saints. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Inspire us to love you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and teach us how to love our neighbor as ourselves, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Be seated.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6 through 9. Isaiah sees a vision of the end of days when the Lord will gather all God's people on God's holy mountain and will prepare for them a rich feast. At this banquet, the Lord will wipe the tears from all eyes, and there will be no more sorrow, for God will destroy death itself. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The same will say Psalm 24 responsively today. They shall receive blessing from their God of their salvation. Psalm 24, 5. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who dwell therein.
For the Lord has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers.
Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in God's holy place.
Those of innocent hands and purity of heart, who do not swear on God's being, nor do they pledge by what is false.
They shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of their salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek you, O Lord, of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is the King of Glory? Truly, the Lord of hosts is the King of Glory.
Second reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 1 through 6a. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. And he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I've asked a cast of characters to help with this reading today. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said,
where have you laid him?
They said,
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said,
see how he loved him.
But some of them said,
could not he open the eyes of the blind man and have kept this man from dying?
Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said,
take away the stone.
Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days.
Jesus said to her,
did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up toward heaven and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said for this, for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me.
When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
Unbind him and let him go.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I heard a story about a man who was traveling in the days before cars. And the way in which he was traveling kind of reminded me of maybe how Buffalo might have been many years ago. He was going to a town south of where he was, and he looked at that road and he saw the sign above it. And for our sake, we'll just call it Sheridan over here. And the other one said Casper. Now, he looked at that road going to Sheridan and he said, oh my word, it had just rained, it was muddy, it was rutted, there were branches laying across it, it was overgrown, it had very few people had traveled that road. But he looked the other way and going to Casper and he said, boy, that's a nice road. I would rather walk on that road than go that way. No, he sat there and he thought about it and he had the solution. He climbed up on that pole and he turned the sign the other way. He climbed down from the pole and happily started off on his way to Sheridan. Do you think he made it? No, probably not, unless somebody turned him around. We have an opportunity to take the path. Whichever path we choose, we need to be careful that we're going in the right direction. It reminded me of that poem by Robert Frost, in which he says, two roads diverged on a yellow wood, and I said that I could not take both. And then he describes both. One is overgrown and it's kind of a difficult road. And the other one is smooth and nice. And in the end he says, two roads diverge in a wood, and I chose the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. For us today, the scriptures all lead us to a road and make us choose the road that we will take. Isaiah is writing to a people who have been taking the wrong road. They've been taking the easy road, the road of the natives among whom they're living, the road that led to false gods and the worship practices of those false gods. And Isaiah has already spent several chapters, if you're reading Isaiah, telling about what is going to happen because of that, because of the horror that is going to be brought upon them if they do not change their directions. And in the rest of the reading we have today, he points to what will happen if they take the less traveled road, the one that is more difficult. And there is a feast of great things. There is the Lord himself who brings life into our life. We see a similar thing in Revelation. Now, Revelation is a difficult book. And in that book, if you read through it, many people get stopped about halfway through. They think, this is horrible. They're ugly beasts and there are terrible things happening. And we just, why bother reading anything that horrible? What they fail to do is reach this part of Revelation where the joy is found. God does give us warnings in the earlier chapters, but in the other chapter he says, this is what you have to look forward to. It's not all horror. It's not all bad stuff. When you take the road less traveled, you come right to the throne of God, where there is no darkness, where death is no more, where there is light. And you don't have to turn the sign around to get there, because if you do, you won't make it. One of the programs that I really enjoyed on TV, it was a short movie. It was called Go to the Light. In it, there is an 8-year-old boy. He has been diagnosed with AIDS, and he knows that he's dying. And he received it from a blood transfusion. And as his parents have taken on the responsibility of helping him prepare for death, he asks all of the questions that most of us ask. What's it like to die? Does it hurt? What's heaven like? What am I going to find? And the final words of the parents to their son before he closed his eyes and died was, "Go to the light." And that's a good description for us of what we need to do as we prepare for our own death. Because one day, I don't know about you, but I fully expect that one day I might not live again. I might be dead. Not in a hurry for it, but, and I don't think any of you are too either. But the point is, we do need to prepare and decide which road we will take. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for taking that road. And this story, it's almost painful to read, because Mary is so distraught. She comes to Jesus and she says, "You know, Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have died." Now, I know the map. I've been to the Holy Land several times, and I know that where Jesus was at the time that he heard that Lazarus was dying was only a few hours' walk. He could have been there. But it's 4 days later that he shows up. They have kind of reason to be ticked off at him. "You know, Lord, what took so long? This is your friend. Why weren't you here?" But Jesus uses this to teach a lesson, a powerful lesson. You notice how as he approaches the tomb, he is really compassionately hurting. So much so that it says he weeps. By the way, kids, if you ever have to memorize a Bible verse, and you don't like these long Bible verses, this is one you can memorize real quick. He wept. Okay, just put that in the back of your thought pattern. But Jesus weeps. And do you ever wonder why he was weeping? Is it just because his friend is dying? I would like to suggest something else. I would like to suggest that Jesus, where did he come from? Heaven. He came from heaven. He knows what it's like up there. He knows God's love. He knows the light. And he knows it's all goodness up there in heaven. And now he has to call his friend back from the joys of heaven to live back here on earth again. That's why I think Jesus wept. To take a friend away from something so glorious and wonderful to live among us. But Jesus is trying to teach us, as well as his disciples, that you and I need to seek the light, to look at the light, and to aim our lives at the light, to choose the road other people don't choose. There is that smooth and easy road that leads us away from God. And it's oh so tempting to take that road. But Jesus calls us to the other road, the one that will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. It will pass through the struggles of this world. But the end result is not death and destruction, but life eternal
in the presence of the light of our lives, of God himself, the one who calls us to be his children. As individuals, as Christians, as members of a congregation, we all must make that choice. Do we take the easy way, or do we take the way that God calls us to? One that's not always the easiest, because sometimes there are people who are difficult.
What would you say?
God calls us. You're right. God has been calling us from the day we were born. In fact, he baptized us and made us his children. And I'll bet you think I forgot about the children's sermon, don't you? I was planning to put it here now. Would you guys like to come up?
Come on up.
And call all the children up. Come on. Fantastic crowd today. Well, if you guys are going to sit there, I'll sit over here. Can I?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. I was making a list of all of the things that I have to do to get into heaven. You see how much is on my list?
So much.
You see how much is on my list?
None.
There's nothing on there, is there? No, because Jesus has done it all for me. And he says, because I've done all of this for you, you are a saint. Did you know that you're a saint?
Yes.
Did you? Good for you. Well, I've got something for you. I want you to put this on your shirt. Can you do that? Saint. And you get to be a saint too. Each of you, does that mean you've never sinned? You've never done anything wrong? No. No. We can't say we're totally innocent, can we? But Jesus does something for us. He forgives us. And by forgiving us, he makes us a saint. So each of you is a saint. Did I give him what? Two? Oh, yeah, maybe he can share one. Would you like to share one with somebody too? Maybe your mom or dad or a friend? I've got a few more. They already have it? Okay. Well, while we're sitting here, I think you and your sister want to play something for us. Can you do that? All right. Fantastic. All for coming and helping me today. Aren't you impressed with the fact that we have so many saints? Would all of the saints raise their hands? Well, some of you don't realize you are forgiven sinners, and therefore you fit the definition of a saint. All right? And you can wear one of these tags if you'd like. You can have a seat. Good for you. God calls us to be his saints. Forgiven and given new life. And given the opportunity to take the road less traveled. Two roads do diverge in the wood,
but we
have chosen the one less traveled. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
With the people of God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Lord God, sovereign of all creation, draw us into your presence and transform us to be a holy people. Bless us through your word and holy meal to show your uncommon love to others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Move us to reinvigorate polluted waters and air, renew fallow fields, and revive natural habitats that have been destroyed. Open our eyes to the bounty you have given us, and inspire us to tend to it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Fill our public servants, and we who elect them to office, with your wisdom. Let your justice flow through our governments and institutions. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Unbind those who are burdened by illness or grief, especially those we name.
Mary McCorkle's mother.
Wipe away the tears of those who cannot see your life through the weight of their affliction. Be with those who will die today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen and bless this congregation's ministry of outreach, healing, and hospitality, like the soup and pie lunch yesterday, the kid shop, and the backpack lunches. Make us eager to receive those you send to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We bless you for the lives of the saints who now rejoice in your salvation face to face. Join us with all whom you have made righteous, and preserve us in eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Enfold all things in your compassion, O Lord, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Congregation, please turn to hymn 829 in your hymnals. We're going to learn a new hymn. The choir is going to sing it, and we invite you to join us with it. You may be seated. And we're going to sing it all during the month of November, which is a month of Thanksgiving. So it's called Happy Thank the Lord. And the offering will be taken while we're singing it.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it for them all to drink, saying, "Drink you all of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who have shared this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, the banquet for all is now ready.